God's word from Luke chapter 15. There is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. This is God's word. Dear Christian friends, I remember touring with the Cantori in the late 80s for the annual Epiphany tour. And I think we were somewhere in Wisconsin, and there were 16 of us back then in the Cantori, and we were traveling in two rental vans, and we stopped at a gas station to get gas and to stretch, and after we were done, we took off again, and little did we realize that we had left Ken behind at the gas station. He must have been in the restroom, and the worst part is we were about 20 miles down the road before we missed him. Well, we tried to communicate with the other van, and we didn't say something like, oh, well, we still have 15 voices. Maybe he can hitchhike or find his own way somehow to the next church. Of course, we went back to get him. It wasn't just that we needed his voice. Of course, his voice was important to the Cantori, but he was valuable to us. One of the biggest temptations I think most pastors face, and many of you will face shortly in the ministry, is numbers, numbers, numbers. Average worship attendance and number of adult converts and average giving per communicant member. And we're tempted to measure success or failure in the ministry in terms of numbers. And we become puffed up and proud when the numbers go up. And my power and the strength of my hands has done all this. And then we despair when the numbers are decreasing and they're not there and the pews are empty and the finances are dwindling. And we can lose heart, worry about the future, go into survival mode. Numerical growth at all costs, love of numbers, is powerfully intoxicating, I think, for most pastors. Our sinful nature worships at that altar of numerical success, but then we have a new god. A form of idolatry, you might call it numerolatry. Of course, numbers can be a good thing. The book of Acts has a lot of numbers, 3,000, 5,000. More and more were added to their number. And the book of Numbers has a lot of numbers. In fact, God commanded a census. 603,550 men at the beginning of the book and 601,730 men at the end. And numbers showed the hand of God in blessing his people. But then the love of numbers can be a great temptation, on the other hand. King David, you remember, ordered a census of his fighting men, and we don't know his exact motive, but it couldn't have been good. God didn't tell him to do it, and it actually says Satan incited him. And because of it, the Lord sent a plague. 70,000 men fell dead. So there's some numbers for all of you number crunchers, 70,000. We incur God's wrath through that form of idolatry we might call numerolatry. But that's what's so comforting about this text today. Jesus isn't concerned about filling the pews. He even leaves the 99 in the open country. He's concerned about a single sheep. He makes an arduous search for one lost lamb, and he is filled with supreme joy when the one lost sheep is found. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law were muttering, grumbling, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." That word means they kept on saying this aloud. They kept openly voicing their displeasure with Jesus. And they call him this man or this fellow or this guy. They don't even want to use his name, a derogatory word. What they said was absolutely true. They said a great truth without realizing it. This man welcomes sinners and eats with them. But of course, they meant it for evil. It's like Caiaphas said more than he knew. Remember, he said, it's better that one man die for the people than that the whole nation perish. he didn't realize what he said was absolutely true. I remember Dr. Veltz in Summer Greek. He would say when one of us got a right answer unexpectedly, we said something brilliant for a change. He would say to us, even a blind chicken finds feed now and then. So in contrast to the Pharisees, Jesus here shows God's gracious heart in the parables of the lost sheep and the lost coin and the lost son. His utter delight is to seek and to save one lost sinner. God's word clearly teaches God so loved the whole world of sinners, and in our individualistic society, it's good to have that emphasis on the corporate nature of the Holy Christian Church, but these parables also show us God's love for the individual sinner. Every single person important to Jesus, 1 out of 100 sheep, 1 out of 10 coins, 1 out of 2 sons. One seems insignificant to us, but you are more precious in the sight of God than all the gold on earth. Your soul and body are precious to him. If you had been the only sinner in the world, he would have died for you, I remember one of our seminary professors saying. God's love for you is so radical and absurd to our reason. To leave 99 sheep alone in the wilderness to seek one makes no sense. It seems irresponsible. Nobody who counts the cost would do such a thing. It's not worth it. We'd cut our losses. We'd say, well, I still have 99 that haven't wandered off. But our Lord is like an irresponsible shepherd. He's consumed with passion to save a single lost soul. He won't rest until he has found that sheep, and that's a great comfort to us. So in this little parable, we see this great loss, the loss of one. We see that intense search, and then finally we see the joyful finding. What a happy day it was when the lost sheep was found. The shepherd didn't give it a beating. He was compassionate. He didn't even compel the sheep to walk. He carried it on his shoulders. Fulfilling Isaiah 40, he gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. And then we see how the whole community rejoiced. He calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." What great joy there is when a sinner repents, when one sinner repents. What joy God and all the holy angels know when a single sinner is found. Heaven reverberates with joy over the repentance of one. This man welcomes sinners and eats with them. Thanks be to God, what the Pharisees said was right. Jesus is constantly welcoming and eating with sinners. He continues to do this in our midst as he gives us his own body and his blood. So think of that next Wednesday when you kneel here at the altar. He's got you on his shoulders. He's carrying you home with joy, and he just can't wait for the party to begin. You are that one lost sheep. He has found you. He has worked repentance and faith in you. There's rejoicing over you today. Even though we cannot hear the heavenly angels, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over each and every sinner who repents. So instead of getting all wrapped up in the love of numbers, we are content preaching God's word in its truth and purity and leaving the results to God and rejoicing when one sinner repents. Even though it doesn't look that great on the numbers you turn into the district office, one sinner to him is valuable beyond measure. You are valuable beyond measure. You're not a number. I always enjoy reading the book, All Creatures Great and Small, that series by James Herriot, a veterinary surgeon in Yorkshire, England. And in one story, he's lamenting the disappearance of the small family farm. And he went on a call to this huge dairy operation, and everybody was rushing around. Nobody had time for the vet to come. He was on his own, and they only knew the cows by numbers on their ear tags. Then right after that, he had a call to a small farmer. He was hospitable, he was friendly, he offered a bit of lunch before they went out to the barn, and the few animals that he had were each known by name. They were not just numbers. So your good shepherd knows you by name. You are his. There's many other passages like that, aren't there? You are worth more than many sparrows. The hairs of your head are all numbered. There's some numbers for you if you like numbers so well. He has engraved you on the palm of his hand. I remember when we returned to the gas station, Ken wasn't real happy with us. He was hurt, and he had every right to be. He was standing there in the entryway of the gas station waiting for us, and he was especially hurt that we didn't even miss him for 20 miles or so. But we did profusely apologize to him, and he did forgive us. We had some good laughs about it later, a memorable Epiphany Cantori tour. And one of the best lessons we learned is it was good to know that one person mattered. With Jesus, you're not a number. You're a precious lamb. He loves you. He died for you. He redeemed you. He searched for you. He found you. He's full of joy over you. I can still hear Dr. Bowles singing from this chapel. Perverse and foolish, oft I strayed, but yet in love he sought me, and on his shoulders gently laid, and home rejoicing brought me. May you have that comfort today for Jesus' sake. Amen.